So we refine the energies, we stop waste and so on, and in this way energy becomes available for the living, for the practice of all the paramitas, all the perfections which the Bodhisattva must practice to attain, to realize Buddhahood. So there's no split, there's no division of energies. The Bodhisattva becomes the embodiment of energy. But at the same time, there's no hurry, there's no fuss, there's no restlessness or anything of that sort. There is, we may say, just smooth, uninterrupted activity for the sake, for the benefit of all sentient beings. And Shantideva may be quoted here, again, in this connection. Shantideva says the Bodhisattva is like an elephant. In Indian literature, if you are compared with an elephant, it's highly complimentary, by the way. They say, for instance, of a beautiful woman that she walks just like an elephant. And this doesn't mean that she's clumsy or a bit well-built or anything like that. It means that she has a graceful, slow, swinging, stately movement. So it's a great compliment if you're compared to an elephant. So Shantideva says the Bodhisattva is like an elephant. And in what way is he like an elephant? The elephant, I don't know whether you know, this is very playful. Especially the male elephant, a very playful beast indeed. And he loves to bathe. He loves to bathe in lotus ponds and to squirt water over himself and trumpet gaily and pluck up great bunches of lotus flowers and washes them carefully and then he eats them. In this way he passes the day very happily. So Shantideva says it's just like the elephant, or the Bodhisattva is just like the elephant. Just as the elephant, as soon as he's finished playing and sporting in one pond, plunges into another lotus pond, in the same way, he says, with equal happiness, with equal delight, the Bodhisattva, as soon as one work is finished, he plunges into another. Well, I hardly need to remind you, with us it isn't like that. One work is finished, we'd like to have a good rest, have a cup of tea, or something like that. But not the Bodhisattva. As soon as one work is finished, he plunges straight away, joyfully, into the next. At the same time, the Bodhisattva doesn't really think that he is doing anything. He doesn't think, well, I'm working, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. His activity, his functioning, his manifestation of energy is selfless. It's a spontaneous activity. It just comes bubbling up, just like a fountain, just like a flower unfolding. And sometimes the Bodhisattva's activity is spoken of in the Indian languages as a leela, which means it's a game, it's a sport, it's a play, a sort of game that the Bodhisattva plays, just like a child plays, spontaneously manifesting energy in the same way the Bodhisattva plays, manifesting the perfections, manifesting the different aspects of the path to enlightenment, and eventually playing the great game of Buddhahood and manifesting enlightenment. So there's no time to dwell upon this, but this idea of spiritual life being a sort of playfulness, a sort of bubbling up of spiritual or transcendental energy, this is very prominent in some forms of Indian thought and Indian religious life. In this country, we tend to take religion very, very seriously. We've got Sabbath faces and Sabbath gloom and things of that sort. We think the more serious you are, well, the more religious, and the more religious, the more serious. You'd never laugh in church, But the Bodhisattva's life isn't like that. It's a game, it's a play, it's a sport. And in the East, religious life, spiritual life, is very often compared to this sort of game. Because in a way it's an end in itself, it's self-contained. It's complete in itself, it doesn't in a way look beyond. And it's spontaneous, it's free from egotism, it's natural, and it's enjoyed.